Welcome back to another episode of the Tiga Tactics Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Evan Preparis, and I am joined by the Tiga Tactics founders, Conrad Bowie. Conrad, say hi.
Hello.
And Patrick Vuong. Patrick, say hi.
Hey, podcast peoples.
Yeah, so we are back for another episode. The last couple of ones recently, we were just kind of diving into bios, talking a little bit about our backgrounds. And now that you guys have gotten to know us a little bit better, wanted to get back into more of like the Tiga Tactics mindset, the Tiga Tactics concepts and stuff like that. So today's episode, we're going to be going over another one of Tiga Tactics slogans, another one of the lines you can see on some of our marketing material, and then also like on the t-shirts, sweatshirts and stuff that's available off of TigaTactics.com. So today we're going to be talking about safety is an illusion. So let's kick it off to one of you guys and just kind of explain kind of where that came from, and then we'll start talking about what it means and, you know, how it applies to life here.
Sure. I'll jump in real quick because I know Conrad will explain kind of the origins of that. But just to kind of give everybody a setup for it, law and order as we know it in society is held together by a very thin veil. And it's that veil is very easily pierced, you know, at the most unexpected moments. It could create a whole entire crisis, as which we've seen with in 2020 with the pandemic, how everything just kind of didn't total. There was not a total collapse, but it was pretty close to it. At least for what we have experienced in our lifetimes, that was as close as we can get to you know, a collapse of society, and you know that precipitated all kinds of stuff. You know, massive rise in violent crimes, you know, economies crashing, all kinds of crazy stuff. So that's kind of a setup for why and how this slogan came about. Right, Conrad?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the intro, Evan. Thanks for also the background on this as well, Patrick. And thank you to listeners who are tuning in. We also appreciate your comments and your advice and suggestions on how we can improve. So keep that coming. Whatever you like, let us know. Whatever you don't like and you think we can improve upon, let us know that as well too. But safety is an illusion. How did this come about? For myself and Patrick, we've watched hundreds of hours of security footage, CCTV footage, video camera footage, cell phone footage. And one thing that struck me while I was watching these were the repetitiveness of innocent bystanders being part of violence. Sometimes people are just filling up their gas at a gas station, and up comes somebody and they start shanking them with a knife. Wow, you know, these are just people minding their own business. Maybe they're just walking on a sidewalk and somebody comes up to them and pushes them over and gets in their face. It could be somebody just driving down the street, you know, minding their own business. They're a victim of road rage. They may have or they might not have done anything right or wrong during that time. Who knows? And just average people going about their life, never realizing that, you know, violence happens to us. It happens to the nicest people, the kindest people. It happens to the smartest people as well too. And so Patrick and I were trying to think of how can we convey this message that violence is a part of life. Hopefully, knock on wood, you know, we never have to ever experience it. And the fact of the matter is, some people do experience it from time to time, especially if maybe that's part of some people's professions, like law enforcement or security or something like that, of course. And at the same time, just your average everyday person can get tangled up in these violent situations. And the other thing is, I like illusions. And so I've always been a nerd, and I have studied illusions, like just printed illusions, not so much like magic tricks, but I love magic tricks as well too. But I loved illusions as a kid growing up, and those two things just fit perfectly. And I have some ideas of different illusions to use. Right now we're using the Penrose triangle, which is like an impossible triangle when you look at it. It kind of makes sense, but then you look at it a little deeper, like many things in life, it just makes you want to look at it a little deeper and figure out how is this possible? It's pretty not much not possible, but from a distance, it looks very possible. So those two things, safety is an illusion, fit together just perfect for us.
Yeah, no, good input. You know, the human history, like the relative peace and safety we have in like the 21st and 20th century is it's like a relatively modern thing when you think about it. Like human history is largely violent and brutal. And I mean there are some pretty awful, I mean, we start digging back through history, there's some pretty awful atrocities and situations that have arisen over the last, you know, several thousand years of recorded history. So it
Right.
just
Let
it
me just I'm
without
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say without checks, you know, it shows you how easily things can kind of get derailed and go off into like an extremely bad situation.
And I want to leapfrog off that idea. Violence is something that crosses cultures. Every culture has experienced violence. And in fact, many religions have even experienced violence. And so
True, yeah.
it's a condition of humans, a humankind condition.
I'm gonna jump in a quick, real quick with a fun fact. It's not enough fun. You mentioned illusions. Chris Angel actually, his parents went to the same church I went to growing up, so
Oh,
it's completely random,
wow. Hey, that's cool though.
relatively off topic. But yeah, and he, I've seen him at church probably twice that I can remember growing up. And at one point, he did like magic tricks for like the Sunday school class, and it was like this Chris Angel guy is doing magic tricks, and it was like who? And then, like, fast forward 10 years, and it's like, oh, he's headlining in Vegas. So that's my illusion reference. Completely off topic. Anyway. Oh, yeah.
I also want to touch on safety as a civilian. There's depending on our profession, also even as a civilian, where we live, those kind of things, our cultural background, our social economic backgrounds, safety for me as well too, especially as a civilian, also as a healthcare professional, is more than just violence as well too. When I say safety, it also covers for myself because I'm a civilian. The broad topic of health as well too. So safety as far as health goes for me includes things like diseases, injuries, even mental health, as well as disasters too, natural disasters, unnatural disasters, and on top of all that, aging as well too. So for myself, I like to take a step back and look at the broader context because sometimes when we say safety, especially law enforcement, military, we think about violence. And of course, that's something that those professions definitely deal with. As a civilian, as I step back, I can look at a broader topic, which is our general overall health and well-being.
Yeah, no, good, great input there. Great input. The I was gonna say, you know, safety. I think a lot of people in today's society tend to outsource their safety, right? They're like, well, that's why we have the police, and you know, the police will come save me. You know, and as I'm sure you can tell us from all the videos you've seen, right? Like, there's not enough time, right? The attack
Right.
happens. It's an ambush. It's close. It's violent. It may be quick. It may go on for a little bit, but either way, let's say best case scenario, the police are still several minutes away, right? Like, and someone has to call them, and or they have to be driving by, right? So you can't outsource your safety is kind of where I'm getting to. So
Yeah, there's that saying, I'm sure a lot of people have heard it, says that when seconds count, police are minutes away. So you can't really just, that's a great reminder that your safety is your own personal responsibility.
And as a so obviously my military background, those of you who listened to one of our recent episodes know my military background. You know, when I for my job for special forces, when I go to other countries, and what I've been trained in is like how to do bad things to bad people in hostile environments. And so like I have that mindset of like thinking through security vulnerabilities and stuff like that. So let me preface what I'm about to say with that. So when I look at America and kind of do like my own security analysis of like various things and like how if I wanted to do the things that I'm trained to do in other countries, how I would do it here, there's very little that's stopping me, right? Besides like obviously my ethics and my allegiance to the country, which is obviously very strong. But like you're saying that that safety security blanket can be pierced very easily, right? There's nothing stopping me besides my ethics and my love of my country. Like that's what's holding me back. It's not ability, it's not security posture. It's not all the things that you would think that would stop someone from doing some really bad stuff. And I'm obviously not going to say the stuff we would do if we were trying to do unconventional warfare.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to give anyone ideas here
Right.
or trying to disclose tactics, techniques, and procedures of our special operations community. But I think about like if I could do those things here, and it's surprisingly very easy. Almost to the point where it's like I'm honestly, when I look back on the last 20 years of the war on terror, I'm honestly surprised more of that stuff hasn't occurred in the United States, on a regular basis. But yeah.
Yeah, I kind of bouncing off of that. I remember after 9/11 happened, certain three-letter agencies went to Hollywood, gathered a bunch of producers and top screenwriters and said, "Hey, if you were a terrorist, pretend you're making a movie, an action movie, and you were the terrorist, what would you do? How would you write that script that would eliminate America?" And they came up with a lot of great ideas. And because I'm also a writer and I also did some screenwriting, I also look at America the same way you do, kind of obviously not in the same way, but in a civilian point of view. And I see all these massive vulnerability points when I see everyday life, when I go to the airport, when I go to all these big events, when I see different cities and their downtowns and how certain things are structured and mass transportation and all these other things I don't want to name, like for the same reason you don't want to name them. I just see huge vulnerabilities. And so having massive regions taken down is actually, in my opinion, pretty easy. It would just require an outside, whether it's a country or whether it's an organization, to take that down. We would be very vulnerable if that happened. And so it kind of, again, goes back to that whole mindset of you, it's your responsibility, because as a whole, governments aren't always the most reliable people for it.
I think there's also well, generally most people are good people, and I agree, right? Like, but let's say like 99.9% of people are good or neutral. 0.1% is still a lot of people, right? Like the town I live in is pretty small. It's about like 54,000, and if you take 0.1% of that's still like a that's still a sizable element that could be going around doing bad things,
Yes,
right? So
right.
not necessarily terrorism, but like muggings, street culture where like you're just gonna punch someone in the head just to prove you're part of a certain group of people, or stealing things, et cetera, right? So
Yeah.
it takes a very small percentage, and then when you actually do the math, you're like, oh my goodness, I can't, like, I'm actually shocked there's not more crime, to be honest with you, like
Yes.
when you do the math.
Yes. Right now I don't want to get political, because that's not who we are, and we're not into, we don't, we're not trying to change anybody's beliefs in that sense. But there's this whole debate about, mass influx of immigration, hundreds of thousands of people coming in. And there's a group who say, "Hey, they're, good people trying to find a better life." And then there's a group of people who say, "Oh, they're all terrorists and they're all going to kill us." Obviously, I'm an immigrant. Our families are immigrants. We're refugees from Vietnam ultimately, and so I'm, pro-immigration. But I'll just look at the mathematics. I'm not going to talk about the politics, but just look at the mathematics. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, there's 10,000 people who enter the country illegally every day. I just made that number up. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but let's say it's 10,000. All it takes is 10 of those people to have like a concentrated effort, coordinated, to do some serious damage in this world. in our society in America, right? And so it kind of ties back to what you said of all, a very less than 1% could do some
Yes.
pretty bad, seriously damaging stuff. And again, I'm not saying terrorism, like you said, it could be mugging, stabbings, rapes, killings, things like that too. So it can be pretty scary if you think about it too much. So again, I'm not into fear mongering. I'm not, that was actually a topic that was raised recently, that one of our students mentioned, Ben Messer. He's a really cool guy. He trained with us before. I really respect him. He's a lawyer, and hopefully he doesn't mind me shouting him out. And he asked me, hey, so how do you balance that?
Yeah.
The being aware and prepared, and but then going too far to the extreme and being kind of like a fear monger about it.
Yeah, fear monger and being paranoid about everything. Yeah, it's I use the same analogy that I use for like fitness. Your balance and my balance might not be the same, right? So like I think everyone's balance will look a little bit different, and then based off of environment, right, my level of awareness will ratchet up or ratchet down, right? Like when I'm sitting in my house, I'm not like carrying concealed with like, scanning my house. But if I'm going into a neighborhood I don't know and it's nighttime maybe, and I'm gonna try, well, I'm trying not to go there, but if I have to go there for something, right? Like then maybe, yeah, maybe I'm more concerned. Maybe I'm carrying concealed. Maybe I've got secondary options on me and stuff like that. So that's just my two cents on that topic. But it is very easy to go down that rat go to like go off the deep end. Especially the amount like I train and like train other people. I know I have trouble like, adjusting, figuring out where that sweet spot is.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance. There's a wide spectrum, and you obviously don't want to go to either extreme where you're,
Yeah.
Totally clueless and live in a fantasy world where everybody's cool and there's no violence and don't worry, everybody's really nice, to the ex far extreme where they're saying, you become basically xenophobic and you're afraid of everybody, and that's where hatred develops.
Absolutely.
And so we kind of have to walk that line in between, be a little bit more moderate, the middle path if you're in Buddhism, or if you're a Taoist, the balance, yin and yang balance. But the way that I kind of think of it is, I grew up in Canada. I was born and raised in Canada, and we are all, if you're in Canada, especially most of Canada, you're naturally a prepper because we have winters that will kill you, and so Mother Nature is trying to kill you every winter, and so you grow up kind of being naturally a prepper and understanding what it means to be prepared. And so safety and illusion doesn't always have to mean punching and kicking or someone trying to shoot you or stab you. It also means, like as Conrad said before, it's more about everyday life, health, and your lifestyle. And so I call myself, I'm not a prepper, I'm not paranoid, I'm a paranoid. So I'm a little paranoid, but I'm a little prepared at the same time. You just kind of want to find that happy balance where you recognize that these things can happen, but you're not obsessed about it.
Yeah, and I think back to that fear mongering, is this statement something negative, something pessimistic? And just like what you said, Patrick and Evan, I think it can help empower us, because sometimes, because of society, and we talked about this, we're very comfortable. We feel safe, we feel taken care of. And we want to believe, there's good people out there, and there are. We want to believe that we are safe. We want to believe that we're positive. The fact of the matter is, though, there will be suffering in our life, and the fact of the matter is, there is violence inside our house and outside our house, and so like what Evan said, if we're in our house and we have a lot of barriers set up. We're safe. We can relax. Outside of our house, it's important to know where we're at and where that balance is as well too. And again, the fact is, there is violence out there, and it happens to good people, to very intelligent people as well too. And so by acknowledging that, I believe it makes it more real makes us more realists than pessimists. And so it's just a realistic viewpoint to say, hey, safety is an illusion. At the same time, it doesn't mean that, life is full of suffering and life is full of violence. It's not. It's not. Most of the time, especially as a civilian, it's a very comfortable life, especially in the United States. Again, though, there are bad things that happen to good people. And one fact of life is that there's going to be suffering. We all suffer one way or another, whether that's with health or relationship or with money. There's always going to be some kind of suffering that will happen to us eventually. Old age, loss of death of a loved one, these things will happen to us. And we don't want to put our head in the sand and just say, oh no, my life is always going to be positive. It's always going to be full of rainbows and unicorns. It's important to realize these things happen, because that way, when these things do happen, and they will happen eventually, as we get older, our health deteriorates. As we get older, people around us pass away. Patrick and I just experienced the passing of our grandmother. And by acknowledging that these things can happen, it takes away that edge. It takes away a lot of that pain and suffering, knowing that these things do happen. And also, knowing that this happens to everybody. Everybody, not just me, not just you, Evan, not just you, Patrick, not just you, the listener. It happens to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're Keanu Reeves or Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or Taylor Swift. We all experience suffering. They all experience suffering. And so understanding that, like really understanding that, also takes the edge off of our own personal suffering. And lastly, knowing that everyone suffers, we can also have a certain level of compassion for people who experience that suffering, because we've either experienced it ourselves or we will experience it. So when somebody else is suffering, whether again that is some health issue, some financial issue, or a victim of violence, we can have more compassion towards that person. So to me, having that balance is an important part of being an empowered individual as well too, and just being more centered, being able to face the adversities of life with better tools.
Yes, sorry for your loss, Conrad and Patrick. I know, obviously that stuff hurts. I find that on a personal level, I think it reminds me that life is finite, and reminds me to like prioritize the more important stuff when I go through when I go through something like that personally. So, yeah, just my two cents on the topic, and then I'm going to circle quick back around, and then we can continue to move on. But circling back around to, being prepared and having a plan, I like to use a car analogy when I talk safety, right? Like, every time I leave my house in my car, I'm not like, well, I could get into an accident, and then I like stress about that the entire time. Like, I'm aware the whole time, and I've got airbags, and I bought a car that is going to protect me, and I could get a flat tire, but I know I have like a spare tire in the back, and I have a flat repair kit. So I have that stuff prepared. I've thought through those problems, and then I push it to the back of my mind, and I don't think about it a lot. And I think a healthy way for safety is you can do a lot of the same things, right? Like, I can have a medical kit in my car. I can have tools for self-defense that I generally carry on me every day. And I have that plan, and I have that, if X happens, I'm going to do Y. If Z happens, I'm going to do A, et cetera. And once I have a plan established, then that just like sits on the shelf as like my the military term, standard operating procedure. Essentially, break glass in case of emergency, right? Just like when you were a kid, they're like, all right, if you catch on fire, stop, drop, and roll. Like, I don't worry about catching on fire all the time, but I know that's what I'm going to do if I end up catching on fire. I have not caught on fire at once in my 41 years, despite doing some very questionable things in Boy Scouts and in the military. I mean, the number, and then in the obstacle course racing too, the number of times I've been And the number of times I've jumped over fire is it's too many to count. I have not caught on fire yet, though. So, yeah.
All right, and I think that segues into well into maybe concluding with some tips and like what you said, SOP, standard operating procedures, on how to keep that balance between being so complacent and just flowing through life. Like I think Patrick likes to call those kind of people sheeple. Like sheep
Yes.
who just kind of follow along with the rest of the herd. And so maybe we can share some tips on how to be proactive. And you just shared, in the car, having these tools to have around in case something happens. I think that's an important thing to have those tools that remind you that things do happen. It's not gonna make you obsessive or anything like that, but it's there to kind of just remind you life is a balance. There's a lot of good, luckily, there's a lot of good, especially if you live in the United States, there's a lot of good here. Unfortunately, sometimes there are negative things that enter our life from time to time, and that just happens to the best of us. I think one tip I'd like to share with our listeners is something we teach at our seminars. Try to find a way to remind yourself to take three deep breaths. So for me, anytime somebody honks me or I hear a horn or a bell or a whistle or something like that, I try to use that to wake myself up. Take three deep breaths, have my mind come back to my body, center myself. And then we also would like for you to, when you're taking the three deep breaths, look around, notice your environment, be mindful of where you're at, and look for potential issues, problems, or danger. If I'm driving, obviously, the potential problems might be I could run into somebody, somebody else could run into me. If I'm sitting in a restaurant, possible dangers could be somebody coming in and holding up the restaurant, or I'm sitting next to somebody with a real crazy virus. Who knows? And at the same time, I'd like for the listener or whoever's practicing this technique to think of the positives as well too. Look around and see what's beautiful. If you're at the restaurant, wow, you have money to go eat at a restaurant. You're probably going to be enjoying a fine meal here, hopefully. And look for the positives as well too. So I think that's a good tool that I use in my life to keep that balance, because sometimes I get into that complacency mode, and I just think, it's all safety. It's totally going to be okay. And that's not a bad thing to have, not a bad mindset to have. And at the same time, it helps to keep me grounded as well too, and balanced.
Always good advice. I always like how you take things to a higher level when we talk about different topics. So, Patrick, what else you got any tips you want to share?
Yeah, I'll give two as Conrad's tips are always great. And so I'll give two basic ones. The first one is before you walk out the door or you get into your car, look at your EDC tools and then do at least a single draw. If it's a knife, then you want to create space, draw that knife, have it in your hand, have the grip of death, really tight hammer grip. And it just reminds you that you do that draw. It reminds you of why you're carrying that knife in the first place. So it resets your mind because when you wake up, you might be groggy. You didn't have coffee yet, or you're thinking about getting to work on time and you're late and all that. There's a lot of distractions and stresses in life, and so the draw kind of resets everything and says, "Okay, I'm leaving the door. I'm no longer going to be safe. It's not guaranteed." So this draw is going to reset my mind so that I turn on my radar, basically. So that's one way to do it. Another tip is I follow the the 3 second eye scan, which basically is a technique that our uncle, Connor, and my uncle, he used to be a Navy SEAL in the Vietnam War, and then he, you know, we emigrated to Canada, and he became a driving instructor. And he was big on situational awareness, as you could imagine, having been, you know, a Navy SEAL. And he said, never lock your eyes on anything for more than 3 seconds. You should always be scanning. So if you're in a car, you're looking out the front, you're looking off to the side, you're looking in the rear view mirror, you're looking at your side mirrors, and then you're looking off into the distance. So it's not just about the car in front of you, it's about the car 3 car lengths down, maybe even like a block down. And that lesson has always stuck with me. So I actually apply that 3 second rule everywhere I'm going, no matter if it's whether I'm driving or not. When I'm walking down the street, I'm in a restaurant, I try not to stare at any one thing for more than 3 seconds. I'm always scanning, you know. I don't want to be paranoid and look like I'm on high on drugs and always my eyes are always going crazy. But obviously, I'll look at the person I'm having a conversation with. But if I can, I'll still try to scan even if I'm talking to this person.
Yeah, I love that drawing of that, you know, practice draw advice, because you over the course of a year you get in. I mean, if you do it 3 times every time you walk out the door, that's, I mean, 1,000+ reps with essentially all, with like no impact to your time of your daily schedule, right? It's like a couple of seconds before you leave the house. So I love that. Definitely something I've incorporated. I know for me, for one, I have a medical kit in myself, my car and my wife's car. That I can reach from the front seat, so I can essentially reach back and grab it, in case I'm pinned or stuck or need to access it and without getting out of my seat. And I've also got a tourniquet that's stuffed in between my car seat and the center console, and I've also got a knife for utility or self-defense purpose, whatever it may be, that's accessible from the driver's seat. Another one I do that, again, kind of shifting from self-defense, although not completely, is I'm steal this one from my wife. My wife carries phone chargers. We have phone chargers like all over the house. I mean, there's all over the house, all over the car, in all the bags. Every time I'm like, man, I need my phone charge. She's like, I've got a cord here. This one doesn't work. Here's another one. It's like, where are you getting these cords from? And I think that one, you know, in today's society, the phone is, it's a supercomputer. You have a tiny supercomputer that you carry around that can tell you directions. It can call for help. It can call friends. It can, you know, it can pay for things. It can do almost everything. It is absurd, right? So, making sure you have a way to charge your phone, whether it be a battery pack or something that plugs into the wall or plugs into the car, I think that's one that is just a really valuable thing, and it's just super convenient, especially if you're cheap like me and your phone's a couple years old. The battery is not what it quite used to be. It just exists, and the battery just slow just drains down throughout the day. It's like, oh, so.
That's cool. That's a great tip.
So hopping back to the tool set, I think our tool set can help with our mindset as well too. So we talked about carrying even concealed or a blade, flashlights, pens. There's a few other things. Some people, you know, they might not like pepper spray or even down the ladder a little more is a personal alarm, like a noise alarm that you pull on the key ring and it starts sets off an alarm. Some people really poo-poo that equipment. For me, I think if you have it, that helps to remind you that, hey, it's not a safe world potentially out there, and I need to be aware of my environment, especially if it's somewhere that I shouldn't be, or at a time I shouldn't be there, or with some people I shouldn't be with. It can remind you to just be more aware as well too. So although we can question the effectiveness of certain tools, if we can use those tools to help remind us and to help keep our mindset on the fact that, you know, bad things sometimes happen and I need to be aware of my surroundings in certain situations more so than others, that alone can help keep you out of really bad situations too.
Yeah, that's good advice. I've heard a lot of people poo-poo the personal alarm thing. I and I think it's got value, but not Again, if that's my only plan, I'm going to pull the alarm and everything's going to be fine, right? Like, you can use it as part of a larger plan, right? Like, if I can pull the alarm and then start fighting him off, and or draw a different weapon or something. But yeah, so good
I think we
stuff.
can definitely talk about effectiveness of different types of tools in a future episode,
We
because
we've got some good ones planned, and then we've also got some good ones with that I'm excited about that are maybe less relevant to EDC stuff and just more fun ones. I like to do a couple of like movie tool like weapons reviews and talk about, would you carry this ridiculous knife as part of your, either military carry or EDC carry as a civilian, both, and kind of discuss the merits of, because a lot of times in movies they just do stuff because it just looks cool. And as someone who, whether a civilian doing security work or just civilian walking around or military, you're like, this is not a good plan. Like, that is a poor weight distribution. Where are you carrying extra magazines? How are you going to conceal this thing? Like, this is everything wrong about this, besides the fact that you look awesome on screen. So, all right, let's start wrapping it up with the Safety is an Illusion episode. Any final thoughts you want to share? We'll throw it over to Dr. Conrad.
Oh yeah, one last tip. Get the clothing. That'll help remind you and your family and those close to you that safety is an illusion. Thank you for listening in, everybody. We appreciate you.
And Patrick, any final thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, just another way of thinking about it is the peace, the harmony, the law and order that we so we're so grateful to have here in North America. It comes down to basically an unwritten contract that we have with each other. We promise each other that we're not going to go around socking people in the face and stabbing them. And if we do, then we get arrested and go to prison in most cities. But keep in mind that criminals don't follow that contract. They don't give an F about that contract. So don't assume that you will always be safe, even if you live in a really great neighborhood in a very expensive part of town. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, even in a nice neighborhood, there's no one stopping bad people from coming into that neighborhood, right? It's not like we have walls around a lot of places. I mean, even if you live in a gated community, that's usually there's a gate, but it's not like, and it's not a real gate. Like, I can get into the community. I'm like, it takes someone with like a very small amount of brains to like get a loophole into that community. It's like, yeah, good advice there. Everyone check the show notes down below. We're gonna drop a bunch of information, and then I know we got a bunch of seminars coming up for Tiga Tactics. We'll drop some of those dates in the notes down below. So please check those out. And yeah, I will. We'll wrap it up here. Thanks. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.